Christina had a, y'all witness come by and visit with you evidently. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, they always want to talk about the kingdom and not heaven and all this kind of stuff, but that's not what, nothing else matters except who God is. If they got God wrong, they got everything wrong. Since they got everything wrong, but they also got God wrong. Now, the Catholics perverted the gospel completely, but they do have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit correct, so to speak. Jesus Christ, but they put Jesus way back on the back burner. We pray to God, not to Mary. We pray to God through Jesus, because Jesus is our Savior, okay? Now, Jehovah's Witness doctrine started with Charles Taze Russell, and then with Judge Rutherford, and then with the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. I talked to them here on the telephone probably 15 years ago or so, for about 3 or 4 hours. They called me. They had seen me on the internet, and they wanted to talk to me because they cannot meet the arguments that I give through the Word of God. They wanted to be able to do that. And that's why they talked to me. That was the whole story, was to make an excuse for what they tried to influence people that are more educated in the Word of God. They're trying to fool them, scam them. Well, I feel sorry for people in Jehovah's Witness. The demons work well with all false religions. If Satan can't keep you away from God, he will keep you away from the God of the Bible. If Satan can't keep you away from God, he will keep you from away from the God of the Bible. In the Catholic Church, I don't have any of my charts up here at all. That's a problem, because I could point to that. Mm-hmm. I do have one in there, but it's not there. I do have one here, but it's not up. Anyway, in the chart, we live in a marked-off piece of eternity. The Jehovah's Witnesses want you to go to the kingdom because heaven's full. Heaven's not full. They originally had their 144,000 that were going to go to heaven, but the Bible... See, the problem with all of their theology, it's like you took it, the Bible, and put it in a blender and just poured it out on the table. It's all out of order. It's just messed up. The kingdom of God is a millennial kingdom, and that's only for 1,000 years. According to them, we're in the millennium right now. I can guarantee you we're not in the millennium right now. The devil is not in the bottomless pit for right now. He's not in Tartarus. He's alive and well. We got a president up there following him right and left. This is everything about God in America today is upside down. Now, if we were in the millennial kingdom, it wouldn't be upside down. It wouldn't be upside down. Let's go back and just talk a little bit about Jehovah's Witnesses. And we're going to go to three scriptures, John 1:1, John 1:14, and John 1:18. Now that's all, just hold them to that. If you can convince a Jehovah's Witness at all, which I don't know, if the Spirit of God is working with them, if you see them when you're talking with them, if you see God, if you see the Spirit of God convicting them, if they're fighting you, forget it. But if you see God, if they're surrendering, and I saw this one time. I had a boy had come in from out on a Saturday mission field, and he came in with his mission partner, and I was working for his father, and he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he came in there, and I went to John 1:1, and I started talking. He got down to the point where tears were rolling down his eyes. He was about to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to forgive him for what Jesus did for him on the cross. And Jesus is God, okay? Jesus is God. God is Jesus, period. That's it. Now, then some more Jehovah's Witnesses walked in the door and it all evaporated. But I saw the conviction of the Holy Spirit in that boy. I saw it at that time. God was working with him at that moment. Never again, as far as I know. But right then it did. If you see the Holy Spirit working, if you see really doubt in their minds, if you see this, deal with them. If you don't, then forget it. If they're trying to convert you, forget it. Just wash your hands of it.
Just wash your hands.
There's nothing you can do for them. They have been instilled and brainwashed in this. Now, they believe that when the kingdom, when the heaven was full, the 144,000, well, 144,000 is not talking about Gentiles, it's talking about Jews. And 144,000, they got the whole plan of God. If I had the charter up here, I could say, here's the kingdom for 1,000 years. It's talking about the Jewish kingdom. It's not Gentile kingdom, it's the Jewish kingdom. And it's going to be in Jerusalem. And probably David is going to be on the throne. Resurrected David on the throne in there and the earth. You know, if this is not happening right now, people. It's not happening right now. David isn't on the throne in Jerusalem. We got problems over there. Now, the Bible makes it very clear. The last gospel to be written was what?
John.
The last gospel, probably close to 100 AD. Now, John wrote the gospel, and one of the things that he thought the other ones left out, and one thing that was so important in his lifetime right there, was the deity of Jesus Christ, because there were these Gnostics coming along, and he hated them. Gnosticism and Jehovah's Witness are twin sisters. John hated Gnosticism. He didn't want to go even in a public bath with a Gnostic in there with him. He said some of them might rub off on him, some of that sin and rebellion against God. What does a Gnostic believe? They believe that they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's simple as that. That's the modern Gnostics today are Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses is a total misnomer because Jehovah is Jesus. The word Jehovah means he who shall become. And he became there in Bethlehem. Not Bethlehem, but in Bethlehem, yes, not Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. He was born there. He stayed there probably for at least 2 years. And then when the Magi got there, they stopped at Herod's house, and Herod, they said, where is the king born, the king born? Well, I'm the king, you know. And they said, well, he had the rabbis come, and they said, where's the Jehovah going to be born? Where's the king of Israel? Where's the Messiah going to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem. And so they said, go, if you find him, come back to me, and so I can go worship him. He did not want to go worship him. He wanted to go murder him. Herod murdered a lot of people. And there's what we call the death of the innocents there, because later on when they took off, the angel of the Lord talked to the Magi and told them to go another way and don't go back to Herod. Well, they went another way, but now the Magi also, the Magi is magistrates. There we have, they brought three different kinds of gifts, but there could have been 30 of them. There could have been 300 of them. They could have been three of them. We don't know. But the three gifts, but they were, these Magi had come from the way over there in the east, from the east. And they came there, now probably from Persia or somewhere around there, because remember when Daniel and the Hebrew children and all that went into the Babylonian Empire? They went over in Babylonian Empire. Well, a lot of the Jews left, stayed there. When they came back to the land, a lot of them stayed there. The Babylonian Talmud was written there at that time. So anyway, these Magi went another way. And then the angel of the Lord told Joseph to take that child down to Egypt. Go down there, because I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. So he took him down in Egypt and said, stay there until I tell you to come back. And then when he brought him back, he went to where? Nazareth. Nazareth. A root out of dry ground. Nazareth means root. And there was where he was raised, and he went to the synagogue there and all of that. And there's probably where Joseph died. There. And Jesus was the oldest son, and he was the heir of that family. But he had other brothers and other sisters, and they were from Mary's womb. They weren't from some other wife. The Catholic Church says that Mary only had one child. It was Immaculate Conception and all that. Well, she had a virgin birth, that's for sure. God impregnated her with the seed of Jehovah, the one who shall become. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses, think about them, is they're very religious, and they go out trying to work their way to the kingdom. The atonement for them is going out and selling people watchtowers and awake magazines and all of this, and getting them into their assembly halls. The word assembly hall is correct, because the churches are assembly halls. They got that right, but they got everything else wrong. They got the kingdom wrong. They got heaven wrong. They got the Messiah wrong. They got God wrong. When you get God wrong, you are just left out there. Let's talk about God. Who is God? God is triune, three in one. He's not three different people. He is triune. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The only God you will ever see is the Son. He's the pressed out image of the other invisible God. Now, there at Jesus' baptism, when he was baptized, they saw a dove, the Holy Spirit, like a dove coming down. That's what we call an epiphany. And it came down and landed on them so they could see that this Holy Spirit. And then they heard God the Father speak from heaven. "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Okay, and then we see the Son. That's God. That's all there is of God right there. There's the Holy Spirit, there's the Father, and here we have the pressed out image of the invisible God. The word Jehovah, which we don't know how to say, that word Jehovah means he who shall become. It comes from the word Hayah, and that's to become. That's a to-be verb. But the word Jehovah, it means he who shall become. Now, in John 1:14 and John 1:18, it tells us all about God. Now, I'm going to read it from New American Standard, but I'm going to go back to the Greek. Now, I'm having to quote the Greek because I don't have Greek with me. I normally have that, but I don't right now. We're here in the house, and this may be one of the last lessons you ever see recorded from this house. Mm-hmm. I love the old house and everything, but we just can't afford it anymore. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's something wrong with the translation there. Okay? There was a word in the Hebrew. The word is Ha-Dabar, and the name is Hashem. Now, in beginning. Now, it doesn't say in the beginning. It says in beginnings. All right? In Genesis, it says Bereshit. But here, it says in beginning. This is before Genesis. This is before Genesis 1:1. This goes back in eternity past now. Now, God existed in eternity past before he ever created one thing, didn't he? He existed before he created. And this is going back to that time. This is before he created. This goes back before the creation. I want you to understand that. This goes back before Genesis 1:1. Bereshith bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz is Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1, it says, Bereshit, in one of the beginnings, we have to put one as a practical substantive there. It's not there, but it is, because it's talking about being the beginnings plural. In one of the beginnings, he had created, third person masculine singular, Kal perfect, he had created, bara, he had created, et hashamayim. That means the heavens, all of the universe. He created the whole universe. That's Genesis 1:1. This is before Genesis 1:1. And John 1:1 is way before. This is in eternity way. Now, the earth and heaven were created in eternity past, not in space and time. So many people go to Genesis 1:1 and they start, well, this is when God, this is the beginning of the creation. And it started, this is when time started. That's not when time started. That's an eternity past. Time didn't start until basically Genesis 1:3. That's when God begins the reconstruction of the destructed earth that Satan destroyed Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Okay? So, in eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, Barashith bara Elohim. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, Et HaShemayim, the heavens. We Et HaShemayim, that sign of the direct object, page 84, if you want to look that up in Brown Driver and Brave. The heavens, the HaShemayim. HaShemayim means the left uplifted waters. It means everything above the earth. The earth is not there yet. But the whole universe is created now. The whole universe has been created in Genesis 1 and 1. But not the earth yet. And then it says, we et our arts. We and et, sign of direct objects, the ha-arts, earth, the ha-arts, the earth. Then he placed the earth in exactly the right place. Now, going back to the earliest place in the Bible, the earliest time recorded in the Bible is John 1 and 1. This is before Genesis 1 and 1. Okay? Genesis 1 and 1 tells you in eternity past when the earth was created and the heavens were created. But right now it's talking about God. Here, the subject here is God. Not the earth, not the creation at all. In beginning, in RK it says, in beginning, locative, singular, feminine, one beginning, the beginning, in beginning, in RK, Ein Ho Logos. Let's go look at that. In beginning, in RK, we have the word archaic, old. We get from that word in Greek. In beginning, this is before anything else. There is nothing created. There is not an angel. There is nothing created right now. Okay? Nothing exists but God. Nothing exists but God. NRK, Ein Ho Logos, he kept on being third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active, Ho Logos. Ho is nominative singular masculine, definite article, and Logos is nominative singular masculine, definite article. This is the subject here, okay? We're talking about the subject of God. And this word here is a, what we might call, and something that stands, it's like a practical substance. What we're talking about here is Jehovah. Now Jehovah is called the word, Hadabar, and he's called the name Hashem. We don't know how to say the name Jehovah, but this is referring to that name, that person. In beginning kept on being Jehovah. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. All right. Thank you, Marilyn. Kai, Ho Logos, Ein Proston Theon. That's a second. Now, there's three sentences in this one verse. Three sentences. And they're held together by what we call conjunctions. That conjunction there is Kai, and that's on page 208. It says, and Ho Logos, Ein Proston Theon. Is what it says in Greek. And the word, the Jehovah, kept on being toward the God, an inseparable part of the Godhead. That's theos. Theos, but it's theon here. Because here we have the linking verb there, the imperfect indicative, third person singular, imperfect indicative acting. And the word, and the Jehovah, kept on being toward the God, an inseparable part of God, proston theon. That's accusative singular masculine tone there. Definite article, accusative singular masculine verb, theon. Pros, tone, theon. Pros is a preposition, page 346. I did remember that, didn't I? An analytical Greek lexicon, okay? And the word kept on being with God. Now we have another linking verb, or another conjunction here, not a linking verb. But we have another conjunction. But it also can mean because, translated here, because, or also, or even. That's page 208 in the analytical Greek lexicon. That one is. And then it was, the word was God. Kai, Ho Logos, ein theos. Kai ho logos ein theos. Now, on the end of that, we have an omicron sigma, or an OS, on both of those. And here we have a predicate nominative. In other words, everything on one side of that linking verb is exactly the same person, number, gender, and case as the one on the other side. The linking verb is there, was, but it actually should be kept on being. And the word, ho logos, kept on being theos. Theos and logos are number, gender, and case, the same person, because they are the same person. Jesus is God, always was God, and keeps on being God. When he was on this earth, he laid aside his divine attributes and powers. His divine attributes and powers so that he could be the in submission. He could become like us. He became human and God. Even though the eternal God dwelt in him, the humanity was there. Now, God doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't have to drink or anything like that, but Jesus did. That didn't mean Jesus was less God. It means that his body that God put him in, which goes all the way back through Mary, all the way back to Adam, he is our kinsman redeemer. He is our Goel in Hebrew, okay? And God, in eternity past, decided that he was going to redeem mankind from his sins, period. All right, now John 1:14. I won't quote all of it from Greek, but it starts out as kai logos sarx agenito. And the word flesh, sarx, he became. Second aorist, indicative, middle voice. And the Logos, the Jehovah, flesh he became. And he, the word comes from Kiskene here. And he pitched his tent among us. God pitched his tent among us. Jehovah did. The one who shall become pitched his tent among us. And we saw his glory. We saw his glory, the doxa. You know, when you glorify God, it's what's called a doxology. Doxology. We saw his glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does that tell you? That Jesus has become flesh. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now are going to come and break into the world in humanity, tenting in humanity, in a person. Now, in Genesis 3:15, it tells us there was a promise there. Satan had convinced the woman to sin, and the man followed suit and sinned because the woman sinned. And they ate the whole tree of the knowledge of good and evil up. They ate it all. They ate some of it. They ate it all. Limbs, branches, roots, and all. Must have tasted real good. They ate it all. And they, and then God told them, and talking to Satan, talking to them, you know, we have a three-way conversation there in Genesis 3:15. He said, you're Satan. Okay. Go back there for just a moment. Genesis 3:15. I'll read that from New American Standard first. If I can find it. Genesis 3. We're talking about Winahashishi, Ani. Talking about the serpent. He deceived the woman. Genesis 3:15, then I will place active hatred between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ, and he shall bruise you as to the head. He will deal a death-dealing blow to you. You're going to be done. But you shall bruise him as to the heel. And then he told them how he would greatly multiply her, but this is going to be the seed of a woman, not man. The woman does not pass on the sin nature to a child. It is the man that does that. Women are really evil too, you know, I mean, real bad. You know, we do bad, women do bad things, you know, they do bad things, but they can't pass on the sin nature. It takes the sperm of a man to do that, because there's where you get your sin nature. Now, Jesus Christ was born of a woman, but not a man. It's God. The life-giving element that went into Mary's womb was from God. And that child was sinless. He did not have the sin nature because it didn't come through the sin nature didn't come through the woman because he had no earthly father, even though Joseph adopted him as his son. So there we have the promise of the Savior. And John 1:14, and the Word and the Jehovah flesh he became. And he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father through the woman. To Mary, not through Joseph. Through Joseph, he inherited the throne. And through Mary, he also inherited all of our humanity. He's our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. Full of grace and truth. Grace, charis, and aletheia. Grace and truth. 1:18 now is the finishing nail to the coffin of Jehovah's Witnesses. And all other wrongful, speculative religions. No one has seen God at any time. Not until Jesus Christ came along. They haven't seen God. I mean, Jesus in his pre-incarnate form walked with Abraham. And he walked with Adam in the garden. But they hadn't seen him in all the glory that Jesus will come back in Revelation, the 19th chapter, verses 11 onward. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God. The only begotten God. God has been begotten in human flesh. And that is the God of the Bible. We talk about a triune God, don't we? Always in the Old Testament, when God appeared to man, it's in the pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ. There is no other physical God, visible God, besides Jesus. In his pre-incarnate form, before he was flesh, before coming from the womb of Mary, he appeared to Abraham, he appeared to Adam, and he appeared to Eve. He appeared everyone in the Old Testament, he appeared to them. By the way, I'm preaching from the Bible that you gave to me. I can read it. It's big enough print. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. It says explained him. That's all it says. The translation, it comes from ekenago. That one has led himself out. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, inseparable from Jesus was inseparable from the Father and the Holy Spirit when he's on this earth. That's God, okay? On the cross of Calvary, when he was dying on the cross, he was forsaken, basically. Do you think that the Father might have felt that? You are triune. Do you think your spirit feels your pains? Mm-hmm. You think your soul feels your pains? Mm-hmm. Now, it's the body that feels it. But it's that spirit and soul. When you die and you leave this world, you'll have no more pain from that time on. Mm-hmm. The one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. The only begotten God. No one has seen God at any time until Jesus, literally. Now, Abraham saw him, Adam saw him, Eve saw him, but they didn't see him in flesh. We see him as flesh. We see Jesus as the incarnate God. Incarnate means in flesh. That Latin word carne. Incarnate. Sarx in Greek. We see Jesus in flesh, going to the cross of Calvary. You know, God decided the plan of salvation. Now, I'm going to ask you something about these poor Jehovah's Witnesses. If they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God eternal, that died on the cross of Calvary for them, they have no God, do they? Mm-hmm. They don't have a God. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Satan is thoroughly happy with that?
If Satan is happy?
You think he's happy with that?
Yes.
Oh, it's wonderful. Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford just did him great service because he keep people away from God. Mm-hmm. They have a religion, but they have no God. They have a God of their imagination, just like the Gnostics of old. The Jehovah's Witnesses are modern Gnostics of old. John, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, all three of them, he's slam dunking Jehovah's Witnesses, the Gnostics. He's slam dunking them, every one of them. He is slam dunking, he said, bam, bam, bam. All of these great Bible doctrines you see from the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, are all slam dunking the Gnostics. And the Gnostics are the modern day Jehovah's Witnesses. If you can get them to the point, because see, the modern day Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is not God, huh? He's a created God. He's not God. He's not God eternal. He's a created God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. Jesus did not become in just the world. He existed in eternity past. He became flesh in John 1:14. But he existed eternally before that. Jesus on the cross and in the Garden of Eden, Lord, give me the glory that I had with you before the world became. Jesus in flesh sought to be like he was in eternity past. He was tired of it. He was sick and tired. You know, I mean, he's so hungry sometimes, he was sickening stomach. His pain, he had hunger pains. Do you think that he felt the pains of those lashes there, the cat of nine tails? Mm-hmm. You think he felt the pain of those spikes driven through his hands and his feet? Yes. Yeah, he felt that. But in eternity past, he didn't feel that pain. Except, you know, God is all-knowing, all-feeling forever. Can you imagine in eternity past, Jesus feeling those nails written right here through his carpal tunnels and through his feet and the lashes on his back? He stood as a lamb slain from before the creation of the world. He knew what it was going to be like, but I'm going to tell you something, knowing what it's going to be like, we talk about death, don't we? And every one of us are going to die, aren't we?
Yes.
But we don't experience that until it happens. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And from eternal past, he suffered as a lamb slain from before the creation of the world. But in space and time, he felt it for sure in that body. That body did not exist in eternity past. But the knowledge of God, the experience of God did. But can you imagine in eternity past, God feeling this separation, this pain, and then in space and time it really taking place? We all shall die someday. Have you ever had a car wreck? A bad car wreck? If you'd known about that, you wouldn't have gone any place that day, would you? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have an appointment with death. And there's nothing we can do about that unless the Lord raptures us in the meanwhile. There's nothing we can do to keep from dying. in some way with this situation that I've got right now with this brain tumor and all of that, I don't know whether I'm going to make it to the operating table. It may kill me before. But, and then I may die on the operating table. At least I die asleep, you know, out. But you look at this, but I have an appointment with death. And I'm an old man right now, even though I don't act like an old man. I get around always. Phil said, you just get up and go. They tell me I'm going to be laying in the bed for a month. Somebody has to take me to the bathroom and take me to the shower and all that. I can't do any of this for myself. I will not have enough balance to do that. And without, I wouldn't want to stay that way. You know, I want to get better. I would just soon just cross the veil and go on, you know. We don't know when our time is. Some of those people that become believers on death row, they know when their time is. They're going to go, but we don't. Jesus knew when his time was. And he did not look forward to it, did he? Not thine will, Lord, but my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a God, but they got a religion. Buddhists don't have a God, they've got a religion. The Catholics, in so many ways, don't have a God, but they got a religion. They got a real, very technical religion. But they take you, they take the salvation away from Jesus and put it to Mary. Mary didn't die for your sins. Jesus died for your sin. You pray to God through Jesus, not Mary. Mary was his mother. She was a sinner just like you. She had to be saved just like you. Yes. She had a sinless conception, yes. The Holy Spirit covered her, put the seed of God in her womb, and he came out basically 9 months later. Our eternal God, Jehovah, had become flesh. Now without Jehovah, Jehovah's Witnesses, they even name themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're Jehovah anti-witnesses. They're Jehovah antichrists. That's a shame. That is a shame. I've dealt with many of them. A few of them have become saved. We've baptized a few of them at Valley Baptist Church. Not very many. Now let's look at another problem with God. Mormonism. Jesus was God, yeah. There's a lot of them. You know, they got millions of them. Millions of gods. The Bible talks about one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Mormonism, Adam was one God. And the only God which we have to do with, Joseph Smith said. Because he created this world. And all Mormon men can become God just like him. And we can inhabit universes. And we can, our own planets. And just like Adam did here. That, what kind of, you know what that religion will do for you? It'll get you right straight in hell. That's what it'll do for you. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell. You know that Jesus talked more about hell than he did any other subject? He talked about hell more than he did heaven. He did. He talked about hell more than he did heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Your Seventh-day Adventists don't believe in hell. In some ways, I think they're closer to salvation than others are. Except there's a problem. There is a hell. They don't believe in hell.
What do they believe?
What?
What do they believe?
They believe that Satan is a co-redeemer. That Satan is going to go to hell and suffer for every man. That nobody has to go to hell. If you don't follow God, you don't keep the commandments, then you go off into nirvana. You just cease to exist. When you die, you cease to exist if you don't follow the commandments. You just go away. You're no more. But the Bible doesn't teach like that. God says that he created man. Every man is an eternal being. When he's created, he's an eternal being. He's going to be someplace, either heaven or hell, forever. Forever. Heaven or hell, forever. Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it wherever it goes. Teach your people. Guide and feed them with your word. Lead them to salvation. And help them lead others like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. I know it's so hard to teach to touch a Mormon's heart because he thinks he's God. And Father, the devil has just thrown this mastermind of confusion and illusions to the human race. Mankind seeks to be religious and have communion with God, but so many religions take them away from God like you know. I preach Jesus, Him crucified, and Him the eternal God of heaven. Please forgive me, Father, where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.